No,
it's
I don't think so.
It's actually really sweet.
Ooh. I like it.
It's got a medicinal flavor.
It's mostly honey.
That's what I really pick up on, is a lot of honey.
No, I do not like it.
Just a tiny hint.
Tastes like cigar smoke.
Michigoni and Degree. All the best podcasts are free. Simon Ginger and Witty. Playing games and drinking tea. Call a pound stone, never lie. The best podcast for its size. So hang out with your new best friend. With a friend for Hidden.
Meanwhile, 20 minutes in the future.
What's going to happen 20 minutes in the future? We'll be talking about games.
Max Headroom will save the world from evil television executives once again.
I love that for him.
And I'm Willie.
And I'm Ginger.
And until then, we're Grand Rapidians Play Video Games.
Yeah, we talk about beverages, real life XP, video games, and we recommend something.
Indubitably.
Do you have the quote of the week or whatever?
The quote of the week or whatever? No, I have the quote or whatever. I mean, okay, same thing. When my head falls off, it hurts.
As it should.
Yeah.
What was that from?
Me. I said that.
I mean, that's legit. And I got something that I gotta shake well.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
I should have, like, a music drop for that. Interior crocodile alligator. I drive a Chevrolet movie theater. Okay. What is it that you're drinking?
So this is something you got me. It's a Cancun tropical drink called Guanabana. Juice with pulp. Soursop.
Soursop juice with pulp. In a can.
Yes, it's definitely in a can. Oh, what color is it?
Whoa. Is it white?
It's chunky.
It's too thick to even pour out of a can.
Yeah.
It's like you need a can opener.
This is what it said to shake well.
So I didn't expect the pulp to be so big that...
That's what he said. It smells really good. It looks like pineapple juice or piss.
The picture of the fruit on it is kind of like a green spiky dragon fruit looking thing.
Oh, yum.
Or almost like a small green jackfruit type looking thing.
And the pulp is delicious.
Yeah, that's really good.
Like, 5 out of 5. I've never had this fruit
five
before.
5 out of 5.
10 out of 5. It's yum. Thumbs up.
All right.
What
well,
you got?
I picked out something that I'm hoping isn't on the other end of the spectrum.
It's something I picked out for you.
But it's an all-natural hard seltzer. It's called Rose Rosé.
It's by Stillwater, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a seltzer.
I know.
Low when, sugar, so.
When I did we'll pick see. That up, I was like, he's probably not going to really like this one, but.
I'll do it for the show. It's made with water, fermented cane sugar, lime juice, rose hips, hibiscus, and schisandra berries. I don't know what a schisandra berry is. We're all having weird fruit today.
Schisandra.
It's a... S-C-H-I-S-A-N-D-R-A.
Okay.
Berries.
Nice crack.
Pinkish clear.
Yeah, rosé, rose.
Sweetened fake cane sugar. Like the craft seltzers. I mean, I like rose and hibiscus, so those flavors are nice.
Okay.
But it still tastes like... mostly unsweetened 7-Up with, like, hints of rose and hibiscus.
Well, you don't... To be fair about rose, you don't want to overdo that.
Yeah.
So that's fair. And hibiscus, like, that's another flower flavor.
Yep, it's mild, almost like an herbal sleepy time tea. But instead, it's sugary alcohol sleepy time tea.
What are you going to rate it?
1.5 out of 5. No, I'll go 2 out of 5.
Okay, that's like not as bad as I expected when I saw that. I honestly just got it because of the price and it was on sale. Yeah. So I figured you'd try it for the show.
Hold on, let me double check. But yeah, back down to 1.5. I think I'll stick there.
That's fair. And we'll be right back after these messages or something.
No, exactly that. No or something.
Grand Rapidians play video games. We don't know what else to say.
And now it's time for Real Life XP, TMCR, LLC.
Okay, well, my Real Life XP.
I was going to say, please go first because mine is a whole thing.
Well, I got to go to an arcade, actually a pinball bar up in Traverse City. There was one called the Coin Slot.
Nice.
And it had like every new like Bally game that I knew existed and a bunch that I didn't.
That's pretty sweet. I didn't know
there was a new Rush machine and a new Dr. No James Bond machine.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Plus they had Godzilla and like a bunch of cool ones.
Man, if we ever get up there together, you'll have to take me there because I love pinball. A little jelly that you went without me, but that's okay because you were up there working.
Yep. So I played lots of pinball one night and that was fun. Epic.
That's
it's about 47,000 points.
That's fair.
Okay.
All right, so for my Real Life XP, I'm just going to put a trigger warning, content warning out there. There is going to be talk about, like, just shaming and rape and molestation. Because let me tell you what. I work part-time at a little grocery store, and I've had my first experience with a fucking incel. And I say incel because, wow, just wow, y'all. I can't even begin to, like...
Yeah, you can.
Yes,
I can. You were
working
at the store.
I'm working at the store, and I'm cashiering people out that night. And, like, I'm cleaning up and stuff, and this person, who is on one of those, like, little rascals with a basket... I thought was maybe on, like, a headset phone, just talking some wild shit about, like, women. And, oh, yeah, trigger warning for, like, misogyny, too, because, wow. I should just, incel should give you that idea. But they're just, I, like, thought they were talking on the phone, so I just kind of was like, whatever this person. I was like, hey, you can go to the next aisle, and I'll help you out there, and... Kind of gave me a shitty look for that, but whatever, he moved. And then he started talking about animals getting, you know, vaccinated and, like, getting parasites taken out of them, and why don't we do that to people? And I'm just like, whoa.
Well, yeah, right. If you drink enough bleach, then the worms come out of your butt.
No, that's your intestines. It's not worms. It's your actual intestines. You're killing yourself. Anyway, so, like, I actually complimented this man on his glasses because he had some cool glasses, and that's where it stopped. And that's where it started. He's like, I don't like anything anymore. I was like, that's fair, you know, like, whatever. I'm not going to tell you you should like anything. Like, if you are mad... Cool. And then...
Except for a video game. It's okay to like a video game.
And then he starts on the misogyny shit about how women can, like, rule the world, but they're just either, like, being not saying slut, but totally dancing around the fucking, like, word. But they just want to walk around, little girls dressed like their mom with their asses hanging out and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, what is this? I'm thinking in my head, what the actual fuck?
Did he mention men killing dragons?
No. Oh, okay. No, I would have been happy if something like that came up. And then he started blaming women for the stuff that happens to them. And I just couldn't help myself saying, well, maybe we should teach our boys not to rape women. That got him probably started on some other shit about rape and molestation. And, like, now he's loud in the front of the store. There, I have two or three other customers. I'm just kind of, like, I'm laughing. Like, nervous laugh and just laughing at this person because they are so ridiculous. I'm like, what the fuck? I hope
this fucker gets out of here.
Like, and that too. Like, oh, will you go away, you yippy dog? You know, just like, shut the fuck up. So then he starts talking about how women get molested by people and their family and blah, blah, blah. And then I was just over it by then. And I called my manager. I called the... There was two assistant managers there, and I called the man because it was obvious to me this motherfucker around mostly women, and I don't want to generalize about, you know, these were older looking ladies in my line. You know, they may have been non-binary or whatever, but they were definitely feminine looking.
They didn't look like they had black belts.
No, but I learned that another one of my coworkers has a black belt, so that makes me feel good. But, like, then that motherfucker says, you must have been molested by someone in your family. You need therapy, and I knew I would get to you, and you're triggered when I came out. And when that was when my boss was behind me, and he finally left when there was another male presence. I'm like... this fucking incel. And when he was out of the store, I was just like, wow. And those folks in the line were like, you did a good job handling that. I was like, I can't wait to go home and play Mortal Kombat. And the lady who was right there, she's like, that sounds like a good idea.
I hope you put his eggs on the bottom.
He didn't have eggs.
Nobody can afford those anymore.
Oh, I mean.
Okay.
How many... just so weird that he was up there, like, doing weird shit when he was rascal scooting around the entire store, mind you. He was doing this throughout the entire store, but people were ignoring him because he had this weird hat on, like, that covered, like, most of his chin and face. It looked like he might have been on the phone.
And he was saying...
Wild-ass... misogynistic, awful shit.
You're ugly. You are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. Give me $200.
You know, I'm really glad that he didn't, like, pull out a knife or a gun and, like, started robbing the store or, like, started shooting people. You never know. People are crazy.
Yeah. So how many points?
For
a grocery store crazy person.
So it was probably about a good 10 minutes I had to listen to this fucking moron. Oof, it's all right. And I'm very glad that I've had therapy. Like, I did say to that guy he's projecting too. Like, I was like, sounds like you're projecting. I'm gonna say 10 million points. Because
10 million.
That dude. Wow, y'all. Like, wow. If anyone ever sees this kind of nonsense in a fucking grocery store, dude, step in. These retail workers don't deserve this kind of fucking nonsense.
Stop it. Get some help.
Exactly. Like, take your own fucking, like, quote-unquote advice you're screaming at me. Because he was being very loud, and I was just laughing at him because that was the best reaction I could muster up in that situation, because I was more like, wow, this is happening in front of my eyes. I hear about crazy people on the internet all the time, and sorry to throw out crazy, like, this motherfucker was acting bananas. Like, he was on something, or he missed his meds. I don't know. He needed help. He needed help, and someone hurt him. So
all right, Ginger.
I hate that you guys decided to slap there. My God. I was too in shock to bust out my phone and record this person.
Let's take a break. We gotta talk about games.
Yeah, thank fuck.
All right, we'll be right back. Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. Oh, wait. That's not good, right?
And they don't stop coming, and they don't stop coming.
Ginger.
Yeah.
Select your player.
What game you play?
I play The Witness on the PlayStation 4.
The Witness, I've seen that. Get it?
This is a 2016 game, and it is an exploring slash puzzle game. So you're basically just like, it's like a first person perspective.
It's a walking simulator, some people would say.
I mean, honestly, that too. So you just find these like little boards that are up, and every single puzzle kind of has its different way of solving it.
First person walking around, you said it's almost 10 years old now?
Yeah.
What are the graphics look? What did they
the
look
graphics
like?
The graphics look decent. I mean, it's like a beautiful like scenery of like nature.
Cell shaded or realistic? Or
I mean,
it look like?
Maybe cartoony realistic.
Okay.
But yeah, then when you get to every single puzzle, like set, there's like a set of puzzles of a ton of different ones, that are all kind of different, which is cool and also a little frustrating when you're like, how the fuck do I do this puzzle? And you have to figure it out, but that's kind of neat.
I can smell you.
It just was pretty fascinating that they have this beautiful scenery and then all of a sudden like a puzzle.
So you said puzzles on a board. Is it like bulletin boards in this park?
It's some are bulletin boards, some are like just other kind of boards.
All right, but now you're showing me signs with like blue squares and other.
Yep.
Like a big long row of them. Other squares with like yellow lines going through green.
Yeah, I mean, there's like all kinds of stuff. There's like ones that look like maps, and every single one that looks different, they have a different way of how you have to solve them.
And they're all like puzzles on signs. There's not one where you have to like roll snowballs into a pond in order to walk across it or something.
I haven't seen that, no. I mean, some of them are like invisible looking, but they're all like puzzles with either lines or you have to like connect it somehow.
Okay.
It's really interesting and it's pretty chill, but also very, very like, hard. It's hard because these puzzles are so different.
Very mist-like.
It actually was inspired by that when I was looking that up. Was it the same folks who made it? It was inspired by Myst.
Okay.
So I have no idea about the end because
but the puzzle,
the puzzles,
it looks
like
they actually make more sense than Myst, where you have to like move random levers or notes on a keyboard.
Funny
or,
you say
are
that.
Are there like keyboards you have to play or
no? There's funny you say that because like the puzzles will have like you'll have to get some of them figured out to open up certain doors to get further in the game to find other puzzles. Okay. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, it's super fucking chill. Like, really, you just walk up and try to solve a puzzle. There's some water around. I haven't seen any toilets, but there's water, like, lake and streams, so you can piss in that.
You're the only one on the island, and there's no buildings?
It seems like it. There's buildings. It seems like it might be an island, or might just be, like, the edge of, like, land by on a shore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, there's buildings, but I haven't seen
toilets. Any story or anything besides?
No.
No?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just really... when I was reading online, too, a little bit about it, it says this is one of the most challenging puzzle games because they might look simple at first, but, like, so you have, like, a set of, like, sometimes just two or six. So the first one will be like, oh, okay, I can connect this dot to that dot. And then the next one will be like a little more difficult and a little more difficult and a little more difficult, which is kind of neat. So once you kind of learn how to solve the puzzle, you'll get to a more difficult one and then it will unlock a door somewhere. Pretty simple game.
Yeah. The nature looks nice.
Yeah, the nature is pretty. So, like, even if you just want to walk around in circles and look at the nature and not solve the puzzles, you can do that. Yeah, I played it on the PlayStation.
Four.
Yeah, it was part of, like, PlayStation Plus. So, if you may have downloaded it for whatever time it was free, you could probably play it on your PlayStation.
Your player.
Hey, Will, what game you play?
I played Dead Space 3.
Hell yeah, you did.
I enjoyed Dead Space 2 so much that I played through the next one.
Ah, yeah, and it was cold looking.
Yeah. This one is a sequel. It's a third-person shooter sequel to Dead Space 2, obviously. Fatality. You play as Isaac Clarke again, and he survived barely because Ellie came back to get him. And he, like, ran away from everything. This one is more cinematic and explains way more of the story than the second one did, which did more than the first one did. So you start on a moon.
That's kind of cool that they're like, here's this, and now you're going to learn more of the backstory in the second game. Then you're going to learn even more in the third game.
Yeah.
I like that. I actually really like that.
So, like, you're on a moon colony at the beginning. Okay. And then some markers, like, pop up in the moon city, and everybody on the moon starts turning into necromorphs. And there's a big cutscene that explains that it's, like, 300 years in the future from in, like, I don't know if it's, like, in 10 years or in 30 years, but this marker, the history, shows up in the Gulf of Mexico. And then, like, people track the energy signal from it to these other planets over 200 years.
Okay.
But then people start creating the red markers, and they're, like, more grown than built. And they're, like, copies of the original big black markers.
Why, though? Why? Like, literally?
Holy shit.
Because they seem to be drawing limitless energy that people are able to use from this.
And then you turn into fucking space zombies.
And everybody has kept that secret. Nobody knows.
About the space zombies?
No, even though there's the Unitarian Church still.
Crazy.
No, because every single person involved died.
Oh, that's true. But your dude.
Yeah, Isaac and that girl are the only person who survived.
Yeah, and they're going to make sure they don't.
Yep, and just like a buddy cop movie or whatever, somebody forces you into coming on a mission. He doesn't want to go fight those space zombies again. But El is up there, and he's the only one who has, like, the secrets of the alien shit built into his head to be able to destroy the marker.
Oh, Lord. But that makes sense, too, and it kind of ties into why you're on this cold-ass planet.
Yeah, it's, like, man's furthest outpost, and that's where the signal and the energy is originating from, that the other markers, they're in different systems they've been discovered. And here there's, like, a moon that, like, at first I thought people were, they're, like, mining materials from the moons, because it wasn't, like, a full-finished sphere. But it turns out at the end of the game, like, the aliens, they actually flash froze their whole entire planet, froze everything solid, killed everything to prevent this moon from, the moon is actually, like, the alien force where everything originates. Basically, like, a big, giant, like, space horror monster god thing that was eating the entire planet. Mm. Like a giant, you know, unknowable space horror.
He was just gnawing up the planet, or right. They were. Shouldn't say he.
But then the alien race that was, like, frozen in the ice, it was kind of like an underwaterish planet. But these creatures had, like, these buildings with statues, like, hundreds of them that were, like, or at least, you know, rows of dozens and dozens of these creatures that were, like, 20 stories tall. And I was like, fuck. Great, these things.
That.
These things had trouble fighting that and ended up killing their whole planet. And I bet they're all going to come to life. I'm going to have to fight them.
Oh.
Shit happens.
But did you?
No, they didn't.
Thank fuck.
There were some like aliens that came back as necromorph aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And
like that big old spider.
Yep. Ugh. And they were like, I don't know, they were like maybe 8-10 feet tall, like things that shot little bomb babies out of their stomachs.
Fuck that.
And it was really hard to chop off their arms. You had to chop off one arm to kill them.
Pentakill. One arm?
Yep.
Were you playing it on easy, though?
Yeah.
On easy, one arm kill.
But, yeah, there were more enemies in the third one.
Yeah.
Too. Like, partly you're fighting a religious leader mm-hmm. who wants humanity to be able to evolve into the necromorphs. So you have to fight a bunch of his soldiers.
Yeah.
So there's some actual people, and they're easy to kill. Just one headshot, and they're dead.
Yeah.
It's like
but
a
relief.
But
they'll also, like, take out the necromorphs, too.
Yeah, they'll fight each other. You can hang back in those instances and let them fight each other, see who dies,
hell yeah.
And then come in and fight who's left.
Looks like you're fucked.
And there's also, later on in the game, you have this telekinesis where you can pick things up when you're aiming.
Yes.
And launch it as bullets.
Isn't that in all the games, though?
It is.
But
later on in the third one, there's spots where if you stand on them, you can just rip the arms off enemies coming at you and then shoot them right back at them. You don't need to, like, pick up stuff that's on the floor. So that's really nice.
That's
you don't
really
need to use
cool.
ammo. You can just tear their arm off and shoot them in the head with their own arm.
Oh, that's pretty epic.
Yeah. Bathroom situations.
Yes.
I mean, you walked by a couple bathroom doors, but I didn't really see anything in this game.
Were there, like, jars or, like, space jars or, like, space
There were ice core samples.
Samples in little vials. Dude, people give piss samples.
Oh, they were
samples.
In big. They were, like
bags of piss.
No, I was going to say, you know, like a 6-foot tall, like, human healing tank.
Oh, you could totally fill that with piss.
Yeah. There were some with, like,
probably those humans
weird alien,
in
some
there.
Weird necromorph creatures in some of them.
Necromorph piss.
You think
jugs.
They piss? Editor's note. There are bathrooms early in Dead Space 3. You cannot flush the toilets. I mean, that one that shoots the exploding orange head babies at you shoots them kind of out of its crotch.
Like ping pong balls.
I wonder if the markers, they're the output from this thing. And, you know, like excrement has processed energy that the thing, so the
yeah,
markers
so is it
could be
dinner?
Alien shit when this
dude that
moon,
poor alien is actually just trying to take a fucking mean shit and it's turning everything into necromorphs.
When this moon eats a planet, then it shits out markers. Then it shits out markers that people spread in order for it to find more planets to eat.
Oh, the marks are just hard doo-doos from the necromorph god planet yeah. thingy. Interesting.
There's not as much zero gravity stuff, but there is. This has, like, these flying forward sections where you have to dodge debris as you're flying forward
mm-hmm.
through
space?
Yeah, through either, like, warp corridors that the aliens had built in this machine that they were going to use to destroy the moon. Which you end up, that's your mission. You're like, we can do it. We can destroy this now that we, if we get the alien codex.
Wasn't that the Rosetta thing that you had to build?
Rosetta was like an alien corpse that was sliced up into pieces that had to go around and collect all the pieces and put them in order. And I think the codex, we somehow use that to get the codex. Yeah, there's different puzzles in this. I like how it's not just the one, rotate it quick three times.
Oh, yeah.
And the puzzles weren't too complicated. They weren't too hard. There's one where there's a grid of, like, 12 lines, and you move one node with the left stick and one with the right stick. You have to move them each to the same point within a couple seconds and press a button.
Nice.
There's another one where you have to spin dials with, like, different symbols and line it all up.
Okay.
Then later on, at the very end of the game, there's door locks where you have to enter three alien sounds. Because it talks about their language that uses, you know, different notes. It's kind of like whale language. But it's also written. But that's not very puzzly, because usually it will just have, like, a picture of what you need to put in right next to the door. One of the enemies is, like, just a head with tentacles. That was also in two. But this one will run up to dead human bodies and attach at the neck. And they'll get up and they'll, like, have guns and they'll start shooting the guns at you.
That's no good.
And there are, like, super freaky fast zombies. Sometimes, like, in movies, they'll, like, speed up the effect as somebody walking at you. And these zombies walk at you like they're in sped up film. Like, I hate really that. Super fast and, like, twitchy.
No. Were those the, like, little skinny ones or whatever that came up too quickly?
Not just those, the skeleton gross ones. The skeleton ones, yeah. When there's tons of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah.
It was lots still fun enemies, to watch.
Lots of killing. Dismembering.
Blood everywhere. Stomping.
Stomping on corpses. I did not like the gun power-up system in this game as much as two. And this one, you could, like, you'd get blueprints and you'd get, you know, like, different stocks and different attachments. And it was also complicated. It took me, like, 3/4 of the way through the game to realize that the Ripper was even in the game. And so I finally made a Ripper gun. But then the Ripper didn't work as good as it did in two. So I just stuck with the main weapon all the way to the end.
Well, that's fair.
I tried some different ones and they just didn't seem to hurt the enemies. I could stand there, like, sawing on a zombie with a blade that stays out there, you know, for, like, a full second, just sawing in it. And it wouldn't kill him. I'd have to bring out another one, and, like, it wouldn't kill the zombie until the third blade.
That's dumb.
And that's not easy.
Whoa,
I wonder how many...
Fuck that. Nope. Easy all the way.
There was one part that I couldn't figure out why I kept dying at the end as I was trying to get to the giant alien moon thing. And I didn't realize that it was the world falling apart behind me. Like, all of a sudden, like, my arms and legs and head would just fly off in a bloody mess. Like, while I was trying to fight some necromorphs in front of me. I was like, what happened? And I had to replay the end section so many times. Made it to a section where there's a big tentacle and constantly respawning guys. And I had to shoot the orange part on the tentacle with, like, 2 clips worth of bullets to get it to blow up. And then the world behind me would just dissolve me again and my arms and legs would fly off.
So you just had to keep running, right?
Yeah, but I had to shoot the tentacle in order to get it to move out of the path in front of me so I could keep running. And then after I got past that point, it's in the snow, and every few meters there'd be another surprise guy that would pop up out of the snow and try and block you.
Terrorists win.
It was rough, but I made it, and I killed the moon.
Good job.
And that's the end of Dead Space.
3?
Yep.
Is there any more Dead Spaces?
No, that's the end of Dead Space. I can go play Dead Space Extraction.
I mean, I guess it's good because we don't need those zombies around.
No, I won. I killed the source. Well, unless there's like a whole species of those moon things. What if they all live on like a really big planet? Mm-hmm. No, they live in space, so they probably orbit around a really big planet. They could have like a space city.
Could.
Like just in orbit of like a supergiant star or something. Mm-hmm. Let's do Dead Space for Ginger. Okay. See if we can get the rates.
Sounds good. Now it's time for recommendations.
Recommendations?
Recommendations. Doot-doot.
Doodly-doot.
Do you have any recommendations, Will?
I'm going to recommend a podcast we just started listening to today called Quiet Part Loud.
Ooh, okay.
Executive produced by Jordan Peele. I heard about it. A commercial on another podcast. It's a Spotify original, but there's lots of actors and writers and sound technicians, and it's an interesting story about a right-wing radio host who gets fired after 2011 and stuff that happens to him later on involving weird, I don't know, we're not too far into it. Yep. It seems like something supernatural is happening, but we don't know what.
Yes, exactly.
Quiet Part Loud.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I'm going to recommend an Instagram page. I don't do this too often, but there is a good one. It's called Nolissa's Crystal Creations, and she has some amazing crystals for sale. She does, like, some lives. And me and Carmen were watching it last night. It was pretty fun when they were hanging out. And she has some beautiful crystals, and they're very reasonably priced. So that is Nolissa's Crystal Creations, and there's an underscore under between each name. So I'll make sure to let you know. That when you're editing or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have spoken more now, but enjoying it less. Have a real cigarette, have a Camel. The best tobacco makes the very best smoke. Have a real cigarette.
Again, for the 11th straight year, Camel outsold every other cigarette, filter, king size, and regular.
We do not endorse tobacco use, especially of the cigarette kind around here. So ignore Will's dumb play.
Ginger, edit that out.
But we would like to thank our patrons.
Yes, we want to thank all our patrons. Thank you, all our patrons.
Now
Ginger will name them all.
Okay, I have to name them. That's fine.
You're so
Mike
good
at Gagne it. From Boston Harbor Horror.
And I'm good at saying thank you.
Chris Copleen from Retro Hangover.
Thank you very much.
Dan the Movie Seller from The Movie Seller.
Thank you very much.
JD Lowe, he's on Twitch here and there once in a while.
Thank you.
Man of the Veil from After Hours at the 12th House.
Well, thank you too.
And Daddy Keith.
Thank you very much.
From The Main Quest. And thank you, Rappy McRapperson, for your intro music, and Inadequacy for your outro music.
Gracias. And we have an email. You can get a hold of us by emailing grandrapidiansplayvideogames@gmail.com.
Yep.
Please leave us a review. Rate us, like us, subscribe. If you leave us a review, we'll send you a sticker. Join our patron at patreon.com/grandrapidians. Play video games.
Only if you want to. That's not necessary.
If you do, we send you even more stickers.
Mm-hmm. Tell your friends about us who, you know, like video games and like podcasts.
And tell us what systems you want to hear more about. Do you want us to play more Switch games? Or do you want us to stay on the Xbox train? Oh yeah, I didn't say that what I played my game on at all. I played it on the Xbox. It was an Xbox 360 game.
This is not the game section of our podcast.
This is the, oops, I missed something. Here's some shit that we know we missed.
Goodbye.